We're going to now have our Bible reading, and it's from three different parts of the Bible, but they're all short readings. And the first one you'll find in Genesis chapter 5 and verses 18 to 24. All these readings are about a man called Enoch. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then our second reading you'll find in Hebrews, and it's Hebrews 11, and we're going to read verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then finally, Jude 14 and 16. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now, just for a little while, I'm going to just speak about the verses that we had in the middle, and particularly Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I've got three headings, if you like, alliteration. The first one is his listing. Secondly, his living. And thirdly, his leaving. So firstly, his listing. This man, Enoch, is listed here amongst the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. Why is that? After all, there are only six verses about him in the Old Testament. You contrast that with page after page on Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. And then there's Moses. Well, of course, he led the people of God out of Egypt, and he's the one that received the Ten Commandments. And what about David, the sweet singer of Israel and their greatest king? They're all obvious candidates, but why Enoch? Who was he? And why did he stand out in his generation? In Genesis 4, verse 17, we read of a contemporary of his who had the same name. Well, that Enoch had a city named after him. Well, that's pretty remarkable. And then in a later verse, verse 21, we read of Jubal, who was famous for being a skilled musician. And then in the next verse, someone called Tubal Cain, a founder, father amongst metal fabricators. So in Enoch's day, it's likely that the three I've just mentioned were better known than him. But of course, God, in contrast to the world, looks at different things. He looks at the heart. The others had their temporal rewards of popularity, of fame, of power, of wealth and influence. Enoch didn't have these, nor did he have a long life by the standards of the day. His son, for instance, Methuselah, lived longer than anybody else. He lived to the age of 987. By contrast, Enoch left the stage of time at a mere 365. We're not told he was strong or handsome, rich or skillful. What we do know is that he pleased God. That was because of his faith in a wicked age, not long before the flood in Noah's day, when God judged the world because of the people's terrible wickedness. God singled him out. All the others of his generation died, but he, like Elijah later, entered heaven without passing through death. It's a reminder of how different it would have been had sin not entered in. It foreshadows the second coming, when believers alive on earth will be translated to meet Christ in the air. The passage in Jude shows that Enoch was a preacher and a prophet. He fearlessly warned his generation of the consequences of sin. God revealed to him the nature of Christ's second coming in judgment. Enoch believed against the odds. I wonder, do you? Is your name listed in heaven like Enoch's was? Does God look at your heart and find faith? That verse, that second verse that we read in Hebrews 11, goes on to say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So that was his listing. Secondly, his living. When most went the way of the world, Enoch walked with God. In Genesis 3, Adam sinned. And then in chapter 4, Cain's sin was grievous. And later in that same chapter, we read of a man called Lamech who was infamously cruel and violent. The lifestyle of the majority is summed up in familiar words that we see in Ephesians 2. Dead in trespasses and sins, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience, in the lusts of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature, children of wrath. Now in Enoch's case, it's possible that he lived like that, like the others, for the first 65 years. But then he had a son, Methuselah, at the age of 65. The birth of a child can melt a hard heart in thankfulness to God for the miracle of life. Was it then that faith was born? I wonder, is God prompting you to consider your ways? What was it that caused Enoch to change direction? Well, that passage in Ephesians 2 goes on to explain. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, even when dead in trespasses, made alive together with Christ. He was saved by grace. Maybe he had heard from Adam himself about the promised Savior. His trust was no longer in himself. He believed God and worshipped him. Shouldn't we do the same? We know so much more. After all, we know the details of Christ's birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension. We know Jesus left heaven to save sinners, that he paid the punishment for sin on the cross, that he has clothed us in his righteous life. How privileged we are. What a stimulus to godly living. But maybe you're wondering at this moment, what does it mean to walk with God? Well, maybe Matthew 6:33 shows us the path. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Enoch put God first. Family, friends, and things were not allowed to intrude on God's territory. He trusted, obeyed, progressed, and persevered. He turned from sin and repented. But still, we might ask, why did he do it? Yes, it pleased God. But also to walk with God is good, it's clean, and it's profitable. It gives us peace with God, gives us peace with our neighbor, and peace of conscience. It's pleasant, and it's really living. But how did he do it? And how can we, with the help of the Holy Spirit? Well, clearly it involves shunning sin, confessing our faults, believing God's promises, reading, listening to, and obeying the scriptures, being prayerful and watchful. And then finally, his leaving. In Genesis 4 and 5, we read a list of people who lived a very long time. But the account of each one ends with the words, and he died. Adam's sin had brought terrible judgment on himself and all of mankind. Just think of this. During Enoch's life, Adam died. Had he not sinned, Adam would not have died. But he did. So did Cain, Abel, Seth, and the others. But Enoch did not. He had been spiritually translated before he was physically translated. He changed his place, but not his company. For he still walked with God, as in earth, so in heaven. For us, death is a solemn prospect, but believers know where they're going. Our God is the end of our journey. Let's be wise and prepare by walking with him. Now, before we sing our next hymn, I'm just going to read some prayer requests. And the first one is from Levon, and it's about senior camp. I'll just read this. There is planned virtual senior camp taking place next week from Monday the 17th of August to Friday the 21st. These are the dates when the real camp would have taken place. We plan to have a service on Zoom each morning with Mike Meller from 11 to 12, and then an evening session on Zoom from 7 to 8, with the officers planning the program of fun activities and Alan Ebenezer closing with an epilogue. They won't have an evening session on the Wednesday evening so that campers can join their church prayer meetings. And on the Thursday evening, Mike Meller will also take a question and answer session. There's a good number of youngsters who are looking forward to attending the camp, and we're very grateful for this opportunity where they can receive spiritual ministry with their friends, and in particular, for those campers for whom this year would have been their last camp, as they expect to go on to further education or training come September. So there's something to pray about in a minute. And another item, and it's about street pastors. This is from Carol Dukowski. We're looking to start having street pastor teams out again this month. The likelihood is it will be this weekend. We will be operating differently, but it will be a great opportunity to be able to be a presence again in the city center and to show God's love and care to people. We will be going out in smaller teams and reduced hours. We won't be opening night base to start, as there are restrictions with using the church building. There are a number of us that aren't able to go out as yet, but we do have enough people that are able to start back. Please do pray as we prepare to go back out again. Many thanks.